If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, tacos on 12. That's a good spot. And not just a spot for tacos and food and everything else. That obviously is for one reason. But I love 12 and 13 to watch the golf tournament. If you like seeing golf, you can just get a ticket into that venue and you can watch a lot of it. The 12th hole is a short par 4, very exciting, and obviously the 13th a par 3. So a lot of good reasons to go to that side of the golf course. I think this tournament's done a great job getting people spread out across the golf course, and if you haven't been to that side of it, well, you are missing out. Brent Martineau along with Austin Lay, the Brent and Austin Show, here on a Wednesday at the Players' Championship. Just another beautiful day. We'll continue to peek in on some of the golf. In fact, Hamby, I think Liv might be trying to show us in a little bit Scottie Scheffler and Miles Russell. If we get a chance to show that, just let us know, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that story because it's a pretty cool story going on today, and we'll have it for you later tonight on our Action Sports Shacks at the Players coverage each and every night, 11:15 on CBS 47 and Fox 30. Austin Lane, what is going on with Aaron Rodgers? Vice President of the United States of America? Aaron Rodgers? I mean, have we reached a crazy point of stardom in our sports world where now Aaron Rodgers might be on a ticket?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers saw Taylor Swift get all the love and say, hey, Taylor Swift, go ahead and take a back seat because I'm about to run for president here. And now Aaron Rodgers is the talk of the town. I don't know. I mean, what are we doing? You know, like, number one, you're still the quarterback of the New York Jets, so do that and do it well, I guess. They're paying you money to do that. Don't
a lot of money, by the
president.
Way, more than a president or a vice presidency.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like your teammates are depending on you, so don't become a vice president right now. And why would you want to do that? I don't know. It's wild to me, but I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know what he's thinking. I guess it's the whole, you know, trying to make a difference and all that good thing, but come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know how to take this stuff. I guess it's serious. Like, this isn't just fodder, right? I mean, this is serious overtures and conversations. I think Jesse Ventura, speaking of wrestling, but obviously this is a guy that has been in the political landscape, also could be on that ticket. Undecided right now with Kennedy and what he's going to do. But, I mean, this is not like a joke. I mean, it feels like a joke, but it's not.
Well, and listen, and, you know, Jesse Ventura, former professional wrestler, actor, I mean, fantastic in the movie Predator, man. Can't get enough of Jesse with the body of Ventura. At least he has, like, experience. You know, like, he was, what, like the governor of Minnesota for a while, and some say he did a pretty decent job at that. You just can't go on the Joe Rogan podcast, Aaron Rodgers, and become a vice president the next day. It's not how this works. All right, well, I guess it's kind of how it works because, you know, a former president kind of just showed up. So, yeah, scratch that. Do it then, Aaron Rodgers. Who am I to say you can't do that? That's what we do now. Doesn't matter who you are, just go run. Good luck to you.
It's pretty wild, man. I have so many different thoughts about this, and it really has nothing to do with the political landscape. I do think you're right. Like, we have seen for years and years, decades and decades, we've seen former athletes get involved with politics, and I know a lot come to mind, but the one that really resonated with me, because I watched him as a kid for the Seattle Seahawks, and I knew the name, and then when I saw him in politics, I guess it was just around that age where I could understand what was going on. I was like, well, that's pretty interesting. I guess this does happen, but Steve Largent, who played for the Seattle Seahawks for a long time, he got into politics. I think Steve Kemp was another name that got, again, the list goes longer than, you know, you would even imagine if you're not familiar with it. So Jesse Ventura is a great example. I mean, people probably thought that was like, what? Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way, is another one. I mean,
yeah.
Reagan was an actor, wasn't he, before?
Reagan was an actor for sure. Arnold couldn't even pronounce California, still became the guy. I mean, it's fantastic, man. It's really the American dream, I guess.
It is the American dream. The chat says Herschel Walker. Yeah, I mean, that's one most recently. So
yeah,
I mean, I guess should we – so should this be as outlandish as we think, or is it outlandish because Aaron Rodgers has been this hot-button issue? And, oh, by the way, he's due to make like $50 million this year to play quarterback in the NFL.
So it's not outlandish to fathom because it seems like a guy who, you know, is a little involved in politics and, you know, his opinions of what's right, what's wrong. And we saw that with COVID and everything, obviously, his opinions about that. To me, it's outlandish, though, when you talk about you're still the quarterback of the New York Jets, right? So, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Like, if you wanna become vice president or president one day, hey, more power to you, man. That's your right to do. Best of luck to you. But you can't do that when you're still the quarterback of an NFL team. Like, I don't know, like, how you think, like, that workload's just going to go hand in hand and you can handle it, because nobody can. Like, a quarterback rents a full-time job, duh. Now you're going to try to, like, help run the country? Come on. Stop.
You know what's interesting? So this is what fascinates me. The quarterback position, by the way, we always often say is a CEO, right? CEO position. So, like, it's this leader of men and things like that. So look, I'm not trying to make the case for Aaron Rodgers here. I'm just saying, like, if Peyton Manning were to run for politics, get involved in politics someday, I don't think that seems far-fetched in our minds. I think, you know, the responsibility those guys have in today's landscape of sports and their organizations, the amount of money and attention and everything that goes, they're usually pretty good speakers in front of a microphone. Like, there are actually some traits here that could add up. But again, take the political views out. Take the political views out, right? Like, I'm not going down that road. But sure. I just think, is it that far-fetched? But the other thing that gets me, actually my mind thinking the most, Austin, is – I always go back to this thing, and we've said it several times on our show. When we were kids in elementary school, people would be like, teacher always asked you at third and fourth grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? And some people would be like, hey, I want to be a Major League Baseball player, right? I want to be in the NFL. And a lot of kids would be like, I want to be president of the United States. All right, well, nobody says that anymore. Like, kids don't seem to say that anymore. And the bottom line is, when you're a professional athlete now, and if you're a big-time professional athlete, you are huge. Like, it's massive. Aaron Rodgers, the LeBron Jameses of the world, right? The Patrick Mahomes. You have so much power, so much attention in today's sports world. These guys are some of the biggest figures, not only in their states, in the United States, but globally, a lot of these guys are huge figures in the sports world. I just think even the idea of this conversation shows that the forum that he chose to say whatever he said over these last couple of years coming out of the pandemic was that big of a voice, and that his stature was so big in the world of sports that this would even be entertained at this current time. And I don't know if that's going to stop. I think we're looking at sports figures as some of the most powerful people right now on the planet when it comes to making money, when it comes to messaging, and when it comes to power of what they can do with the future of their brands. And I think that's why these guys are now so good at being businessmen. I mean, LeBron James is a great basketball player. He's also a really good businessman and has a ton of ventures. So I just think that's the current state, man. But it's eye-popping to really think about it in that lens. Sports is bigger than ever, especially when you get to that kind of category of a star.
Brent, I'm going to ask this question for you just so I can hear the complaints in the chats and on Twitter saying, whoa, must be a slow sports day today. But I'm going to ask this anyways. If you can pick one quarterback right now to be president, who you picking?
Yeah, that's a good – I was thinking that too. I'm like, okay, so where else could our mind go, right, in terms of who else would you take? I mean, the campaign slogan for Russell Wilson would be, let's ride.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, we are not getting Russell Wilson as president.
Oh, man.
No, absolutely not.
I know,
not.
But just thinking campaign slogans.
I'm like, drawing
that's
the
just
line.
Campaign slogan.
Okay.
I got to go with Kirk. Just like Rude Dog in the chat.
Hamby couldn't resist. Had to go this long without talking about Kirk Cousins, had we? So you think Kirk Cousins is gonna invent a bill and go, you like that? Come on.
That would be pretty sick.
Guy's too much of a hothead. There's no way. No.
The question might be, like, the other guys in the Jets locker room, like, Tyrod Taylor just got signed. What do you think he's thinking when he walks into that locker room for the first time? Oh, I got to watch the way I speak to this guy. He might be the vice president one day, like a rookie receiver gets drafted. Oh, I got to be so careful about what I say to Aaron.
I'm trying to be friends with him for real, yeah.
You know, I got to suck up because this guy might be the vice. He might, you know, like that's insane.
I like your question. I just don't want to have a flippant answer here, right? So
yeah, I hear you. Well, you said Russell Wilson. You know, that I mean, you ruined it.
Well, okay. I did have a flippant answer. I'm gonna get away from that. Golly, man, what? What's presidential?
Daniel Jones?
Like the most popular player in the NFL is Patrick Mahomes, but
Daniel Jones but a trip on the Patrick. Podium. He would embarrass our entire country. He already embarrasses his city that he plays in. You want him to embarrass the entire country now? What are you doing, Hamby?
I just wanted to kind of softball him.
He did trip over the the 10-yard line. So
yeah, you guys want to make memes of Joe Biden falling off an airplane? Imagine Daniel Jones
or Mac Jones.
Well, hey, to be fair with Mac Jones, the way Mac Jones ran to the podium when he got drafted was very presidential. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
I think, I don't think there's a good answer here, by the way. I don't, there's nothing I fall in love with. You know what's interesting to me? Because I feel like my mind goes to like a guy like Tua.
Really?
Okay. Seems like salt of the earth guy, which doesn't make him politician, probably.
No, it makes him the exact opposite. Running for the Green Party, Tua Tagovailoa.
But I don't know, mate. Why you have an obvious one in here?
Because I,
you know, my mind goes to like Dan. Can we make Dan Campbell president?
Sure, I love that.
What do you got?
See, to me, being presidential, it's all about image, right? It's all about how you come across. Sometimes cocky, sometimes your image and your style getting lost, really, in what the numbers say. I'm taking Joe Burrow. I mean, smoking cigars in the locker room, turtlenecks, rocking the shades. Like, dude, I don't care about your policy. You look good. You seem confident. Give me a Joe Burrow, please.
When I see Joe Burrow, I think he's more a Secret Service agent than he is president.
Well, there you go. You're scared of him, though, right?
It's the glasses, and like I could see him in the turtleneck with the suit on or something, you know? Like, that's why I got him as a Secret Service agent. Instead,
put Gardner in there.
I don't even know
if
there's a player, by the way. Yeah, you know, I thought about Gardner as a fun one, right? I mean, if you're going to go crazy, why don't you go? But is there a player in the National Football League? Forget about quarterback that you would think maybe has that kind of juice. We have some great human beings, by the way, in the National Football League. The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award has certainly, you know, lent us to some of those stories. I mean, there are guys that are scholars and also doing so much for the community and making the world a better place type of people. Obviously, we know Calais Campbell won that award, and we think the world of him. So, I mean, I do think you really have those kind of human beings that you'd almost be able to support on a human level, forget about a football player level, as a leader.
No, I mean, I think Calais is a great example. I mean, Calais, honestly, and this is wholeheartedly speaking here, he should get into some sort of, like, I don't know whether it's like mayor or like just running for a house, because like I think the guy does have that skill set. I think he loves giving back. I mean, obviously his size and stature helps as well because he's very recognizable. But I think he would have a great gig in that. One more quarterback point I want to bring up to you real quick, and we can move on here. What about Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, I definitely thought you were going to say Dobbs.
Wyoming, you know?
Oh, Josh Dobbs. Nowhere. There you go.
Dobbs? Yeah.
He's a genius.
He is a genius.
Well, that doesn't take a genius to be president now.
Maybe that's going to disqualify him if he's a genius, yeah.
Let's keep him in NASA. Roasted.
Yeah, let's keep him in NASA. Captain of Space Force? Let's go.
All right, so there's no way this is really going to happen. Do you think, just real quick, I mean, it seems like Rodgers is really being considered. I don't know how big the story is or how true the story is or how much depth there is to the story. But would you seriously, at his age, for the opportunity to do that and say you did that, give up playing for the New York Jets to do that?
Oh, there's not a chance. Like, listen, I love doing good for the country and doing good for the community and all this stuff, right? But if you look at, like, the before and after, and this is more of a president than a vice president, I think. Look at the before and after, before the president gets, like, elected as the president, and then the after as he's walking out. They go through, like, a time warp of, like, 20 years. It just ages you.
Yeah, they do.
Seriously, because it's just it's stressful. It's nonstop. Just like half the side hates you. You can't do anything, right? Like I don't want to live that life, man. Like who would want to live that life? Like they always say that the smartest people don't become president because well they're the smartest people and they know. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, man, just play football, please. Just play football.
Yeah. By the way, they do say it ages you. That's why we have now 80-year-olds, so don't have to worry about that. We can't see the difference. No matter who gets elected, we just can't see the difference in age.
Yeah, he looks old as he did. I don't know.
He still looks old.
Still looks old, yeah.
And by the way, this isn't a D and an R thing. That's for both candidates that are leading the way. Okay, just to clarify. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, man, like, Brent, you just wait till... I say, hey, one day, man, if I ever get it on me and I run for some kind of office or president or something like that, I go in there looking like Jason Momoa, come out looking like the Crypt Keeper. Let's go. Can't wait.
Maybe that would be a good look on you. That could be
good. The Crypt Keeper?
Could be advantageous.
Hair falling out. Yeah, let's go, man.
We'll go. How much more can you go with the Momoa look? By the way, are you going to carry on with him? Is he whatever, however old he is too, or is this going to run out of time?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, I think Momoa's kind of falling off a little bit. You know, he's putting that dad bod back on. And me, I'm in fight camp right now. So if Jason Momoa needs like a like a body double in some action movie, how about you, boy, man? I got you.
We will take a break. We're live at TPC Sawgrass in the Players Championship. It is a practice round today, and of course all the tournament play gets underway tomorrow. We got a beautiful backdrop, just a beautiful day, and there you look at some of the fans. They're actually right, well, not too far from us. It's an autograph zone for the kids, but that's where the players are warming up and practicing. We're on the complete other side of that, but about a good driver, maybe a Scotty Scheffler driver from where that shot is being taken right now out at the driving range.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back to the Players Championship, TPC Sawgrass, the place to be as we continue to give you the tour of the course if you haven't been. And you can see, one thing about this is the way this looks, the temperatures, the sky, the... Well, everything is going to look about the same all week. I don't think we're going to get a lot of fluctuation in the weather, just an increased amount of temperatures as you get later in the week up into the mid-80s here in Northeast Florida and in Ponte Vedra, but a nice little breeze as well. Not too windy, so it should be ideal conditions. I think we're going to see some low scores here at the Players Championship, although folks are talking about how fast the greens are, so maybe that neutralizes it just a little bit. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, the Brent and Austin Show, Jason Hamby along as well on a Wednesday as we get set to tee it up tomorrow. At the Players' Championship, we'll have a story on Scotty Scheffler, world number one, coming up in just a few moments as well. So we will talk a little bit of golf, but golf mostly the backdrop. We do have our Players' Championship specials every night at 11:15 on CBS 47 and Fox 30. We're out here all day. Make sure you follow us on social media, too. All right, I was getting excited yesterday, Austin, because Houston kind of sat pat. They didn't do a lot to scare us in the early stages of free agency, and then... I spoke too soon because they are the ones that end up with Danielle Hunter on a big two-year deal. And I'm telling you, Hunter's a really good player. I think this is a good investment for 2 years for Houston. And it is what it is. I mean, we knew they could have the ability to get some good players. We thought maybe a Saquon Barkley and a Christian Wilkins. They get Danielle Hunter. They obviously get Joe Mixon. So they add to what already looks like a pretty good football team. But Hunter is a fantastic player that just entered the AFC South.
Yeah. You know, we're feeling good about it, Brent. We got a little cocky. They weren't really doing anything. We weren't scared. And then all of a sudden, Danielle Hunter comes to town. And, yeah, they have two solid bookends. You know, I mean, a lot like the Jacksonville Jaguars with Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen. Now they have their form of that. And, listen, when you have two solid edge rushers, it can do a lot for you. Like, let me go and ask you this. I think it's kind of a legitimate question. Right now, I'm not saying – couple years down the line, but right now, you take in Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, You taking the Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, a fair question. I'm going to try to say this without homering up. I genuinely think this way, okay? I think I'd take the Jags right now. Mm-hmm. I think even this year you can make the case that that Josh Allen is like, boom, going into his prime. I mean, he's 26 years old, right? I mean, he's on the verge of 27. He is ascending player. I think Hunter, you're hoping he can deliver what he's been able to deliver. He's been outstanding. But at his age, you're kind of hoping, okay, is he a guy that's going to be able to do this for another couple of years like some have been able to do it? Or is he going to start to dip a little bit? So I like that idea of it anyway. The resume on Hunter is fantastic. I'll also say this. Trayvon Walker took such a big step in his second year, and especially the second half of the year, that I like where he is right now. And I thought, and please don't take this too far out of context, but for this conversation, I thought Will Anderson was good, but not great last year. And I think he like won Defensive Player of the Year because there weren't a lot of other options. You know, a year prior, Sauce Gardner wins hands down. Like, Sauce Gardner impacted the NFL and week to week way more than Will Anderson did. So I'm not trying to – I like him as a player. But I do think we still don't know exactly what he's going to be, how dominant he's going to be. And he might get there. He's off to a good start, of course, with I think he ended up with like 7.5 sacks, it was 8 sacks. But,
seven.
But, you know, I'm not trying to hammer him, Austin. I'm just saying it wasn't loud, if from my vantage point at least.
No, I hear you. I mean, you can – kind of make an argument either way here, but and once again, not to really homer up, but I feel like Josh Allen out of these four guys is probably the most elite right now. I mean, you can't deny a guy comes off a 17.5 sack season. You just can't. So I take advantage of Josh Allen there, and then if you want to go with the young guns and Trayvon Walker against Will Anderson, you know, I think Trayvon Walker, like, listen, Will Anderson putting 7 sacks his rookie year, like, if Trayvon Walker did that his rookie year, we'd have been celebrating. But what were we saying? Oh, we don't know. Let's see. Well, it obviously worked out well, having 10 sacks last season for Trayvon Walker. I lean towards the Jaguars, but I think it's close. And once again, I think from Houston's standpoint, because they also got the defensive tackle too now, right? They got – can't remember that guy's name. They got somebody else too, if I'm not mistaken, at defensive tackle. Besides –
they just got somebody in free agency?
Yeah.
Besides Fonikasi?
Yeah, I thought they got somebody else as well. I'll have to double check that.
I got
but nevertheless,
check.
Yeah, when you have two bookends, though, it allows you to do a lot of things in Houston.
D'Amico Autry.
Thank you very much. They got D'Amico Autry as well. So, yeah.
D'Amico Autry, yeah.
Houston got better.
And Khalil Davis.
And having to play, you know, them twice a year and, you know, Trevor Lawrence back there. It does make you a little nervous, as it should, but time will tell.
Yeah, and D'Amico is obviously a very good coach, and he's on the defensive side of the ball. So you figure they're going to be pretty good on that side of the ball for years. Listen, they have a very nice team. I think on paper, I like the moves they've made. I thought they'd be a little more splashy potentially. I said that yesterday, but I'm not saying that was the right way to go. I think the way they've gone is pretty good. And even the Hunter deal to me is a very good business deal. It's a 2-year thing with a lot of money up front, and it's worth it right now, I think, if you're a Houston Texans fan. So, listen, there's a lot to like. If I was in Houston, to your point, I'd be loving what I have. And especially in this conversation with Hunter and with Will Anderson, I can buy into the upside and the continued really good career of Danielle Hunter. I do think in Jacksonville, though, where you can't win a lot of these conversations over the years, I don't think you're homering up or I'm homering up. I think it makes some sense why you could lean Trayvon and Josh. Josh is going to have to prove that he can do it again to this level. Is he all of a sudden going to become a guy that's going to have 15, 16, 17, 18 sacks a year? Is he in now the TJ Watt, the Myles Garrett category, or did he really just have a banner year in a big-time moment, perfect timing? What do you think about that, Austin, before we get to the Trayvon side of things? Is that who Josh Allen now is? Because like anything else in sports, it's one thing to get there. It's a harder thing to maintain it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has the capability to do that again. I'd be a little more nervous if he had nothing on the other side of him in terms of pass rush capability and teams can just zone in on him. but I don't see that being the case. So not to say, like, hey, next year, Josh Allen, let's go ahead and give him, you know, 18 sacks, 19 sacks. I'm not ready to go there quite yet, but I think now, I mean, it's a good sign the fact that, you know, he's reached a new echelon and he's going to get paid like a top three defensive end. So you got to, you know, yeah, play like it as well. I mean, to me, it reminds me a lot of Shaq Barrett from Tampa Bay, 2019, has 19 and a half sacks, takes the league by storm, best pass rusher. I think he wasn't defensive player of the year, but he finished like he was close to in that running, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously an all-pro that year as well. His next season, 8 sacks. You know, I mean, took some bit of a regression. The following year, 10 sacks. And then, you know, from there, 3 sacks and 4.5 sacks. So he fell off a lot. And keep in mind that this was – he got the 19.5 sacks his 5th season. So still pretty young in terms of his career, you know, coming into his prime and everything. I don't see Josh Allen falling off like that. I think Josh Allen will remain consistent, and I think we can expect 14, 15 plus sacks a year again. Once again, as long as he can stay healthy, number one, but also a deal gets done in a reasonable time.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Josh that I do like, but I think this is hard. I really do think it's hard to maintain. I think that's when you get paid, when you have a huge year, I think he is motivated to be great. You heard him 2 years ago, not this past year, but 2 years ago in training camp. I remember we were at Episcopal School of Jacksonville. That's where they were having training camp. And he said, I'm going to be, or I want to be, or I am the best defensive player in the NFL. Like, that's what he believes. And if that's his mission, that's his goal, to be great, which takes a different level of commitment, I think he believes that, speaks that, wants to be that. So that's a starting point. I think one thing that he did learn last year is how to be that. And the way he went about his business, I'm telling you, Austin, it was fun to watch. I mean, he was as locked in could be. And I think, can you do that again? Is that his new method? Is he going to change it at all? I wouldn't change a thing if I am Josh Allen. From every little bit of how he got ready for the season to every little bit about how he got ready for a game and that whole thing, I think he got it. Like, he found what he needed to be great, and we'll see if he's able to do that again. I think that's an important part of the process for a lot of these guys, instead of just mixing it up. But life changes, too. Your body changes, too. So can he duplicate what he tried to do a year ago? Okay, as for the Trayvon Walker side of this, we are pleased and very happy, I think, in Jacksonville to see Trayvon Walker do what he did last year, to get to double-digit sacks. And again, if you go back to the last 9 games of the year, he was really good, and he started to stack some numbers, which I think is an important thing for Trayvon going forward. What we don't ask a lot about, at least yet, at least we haven't, about Trayvon Walker, is how good is he going to be? What did last year show us? What does last year now give you the confidence that, hey, he's not just this number one pick, Austin, with a bunch of talent and potential? He showed some of that talent and potential, but where's the ceiling? And that's the thing we never really know about a football player, but will we find out soon, and how high is it?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I can see Trayvon Walker having a 14-sack season, 15-sack season. You saw what happens when you put his hand in the dirt and you let him just do one thing. And you don't overload him. I am nervous from the standpoint of they could move him inside, right? He could be more of a three technique, which I don't agree with. And listen, Ryan Nielsen knows a lot more about football than I do, right, in terms of X's and O's and everything. So I'll trust Ryan Nielsen. But all I know is sometimes I feel like coaches, they want to overguess themselves and they're too smart for their own good. And when I see a guy who had 10 sacks last season, in his second year, mind you, still young, still growing, still developing, and you want to move him on the inside in a new position because you feel like, we can get some value there and then get another edge rush on the outside, I think you run the risk of you know, hampering an athlete. Now, maybe Trayvon moves inside and he's the next reincarnation of Aaron Donald. Who knows? But what I do know, and these are facts, that when you get him on the outside with his hand in the dirt, he got you 10 sacks. That's the floor, I feel like, right now with Trayvon Walker. Why wouldn't you want to ride that out and see, hey, what can this guy do now with another season of experience with Josh Allen on the same side, on the opposite side of him? And also, oh, by the way, hopefully some better interior pass rush as well. What would that look like?
Yeah, it's a good point. I like what you just said there. Is that his floor? And I'd be okay with that, at least for the time being. And maybe it's a couple of years away from getting to that 14-15 sack. Stamp. But look what Josh just did, right? I mean, Josh, you kind of knew it. You saw it brewing. He had it in him. He had 10.5 sacks. Like, you knew he could get there, and then takes it to a new level. I don't think we should automatically assume 3.5 to 10 sacks to 15, 16, 17 sacks for Trayvon Walker. I think that's a little bit unfair for a young player. But I do think it showcases what, there's more in the tank most likely for Trayvon, especially with the tandem of him and Josh. But I like what you said about the floor. If the floor starts to become 9.5, 10.5, 11.5 sacks, somewhere in there, that 9-11 range, that's okay. And then you get to that next level at some point. I think we've got to be a little bit careful on the outside looking in to say, you have to get to 14 or 15 right now. I don't know if that's the case. I think Josh just showed it. I think other people have shown it, that, hey, sometimes it takes a little bit more time. I gave you guys Chris Jones' numbers earlier in the week. I think it was 2.5 sacks, 7.5 sacks, and then, boom, started to be a 13, 14, 15 sack guy each and every season. That position can take a little bit of time to get better and better, and especially the more attention you draw. So it'll be interesting to follow what Trayvon Walker can do. I think what everybody here in Jacksonville now knows about Trayvon is he's a really good football player. Now we just wonder how good of a football player is he going to be in Jacksonville and in the National Football League. All right, let's take a break, Hamby, if we can. Another timeout here from the Players' Championship as we continue to talk a lot about the Jacksonville Jaguars, about the NFL. We wait on the Calvin Ridley front until 4 o'clock today and maybe even beyond. We'll also talk a little bit about golf, including Scottie Scheffler. Stuart Weber will have a story on him. World number one and definitely the favorite to win here at TPC Sawgrass. This is the back entrance, a cool little area they've built, almost Disney-esque, on the backside of the golf course where 16, 17, 18, beyond that, the fan shop. And this is where a lot of folks enter and leave to watch the Players' Championship, and a lot of shopping to be done on the way out of the Players.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
There's the replica hole, the 17th. Everybody get a little swing. I'll tell you what, that hole right there might be harder than the actual 17th hole. It's hard to hit a 35-yard shot and keep it on that green. I'm not kidding. I'd rather take a full shot with a pitching wedge or a 9-iron on the 17th hole for real from 135 yards out. But that's a fun one to obviously highlight the famous 17th Island Green here at TPC Sawgrass. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane. You know what I think we need to do for you, Austin, is find you a favorite golfer.
I mean, I was on Ricky Fowler for a long time. I called him a swagger hound and everything. Even got so drunk at the TPC Sawgrass event the first time I was there back in 2010 because I wanted to play beer pong, and they wouldn't let me do that. But, yeah, I saw Ricky, and I called him a swagger hound. And he's like, he pointed and, like, winked at me. So I was like, all right, I'm a Ricky Fowler fan now. But then kind of, like, the swagger hound kind of grew up a little bit, and now he's kind of like every other golfer, I feel like. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'd probably go, who's the dude from Norway? Hovland? No. What's his name?
Hovland, yeah. Victor Hovland.
Hovland.
Victor Hovland.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably go with him just because, shout out to Norway.
You know, it's funny. It's like, again, I know you're not like huge golf guy, but I'd be interested to see if you checked out Full Swing, which is the Netflix documentary, which highlights the guys. It's only like 6 episodes or something. And last year it came out, and this year it's back. And why? The reason I bring that up is because I haven't even watched it yet. But like, I kind of know these guys, or I know I don't know them from that angle. I probably will watch it. But my buddy back up in Rhode Island, Pat, he's not like a golf fan. You know, I mean, sure, maybe he'll like tune into the Masters for a couple of holes or something like that because he's a sports fan. But he's not a diehard golf guy and wouldn't be able to name probably 25 guys on the PGA Tour, outside of especially the big names. But he watched it last year. And then he just watched it again, and he won't stop bugging me over the last week about, hey, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? And he loves Joel Damon, the guy that wears the bucket hat, while he plays. Okay. And Damon's not – so he must come off really well in that documentary. because he loves him. He's like, my favorite golfer is Joel Damon. I'm telling you, nobody says that. So until this documentary was done. But it's just funny how things like that can do for the sport. I think they stole like the F1 model. F1 did this, Formula One, and I think it really took off and it highlighted their drivers and the personalities and more about them. And again, that's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a niche sport, but it isn't like a transcendent sport by any means in some parts of the world. Now, other parts of the world, it's huge. But I think golf stole that kind of idea, and they've done it, and it's been successful highlighting some of their players, getting to know some of their players, because my buddy's a great example. So I wonder if you watched it as a guy who, let's be honest, quite frankly, doesn't care about golf much, if it would open your eyes to the sport a little bit more or not.
No, it's wild. You're not the first person that has kind of encouraged me to watch the full swing thing. I have some friends back home who aren't like the biggest golf fans. Like, they actually golf, like they play it, but they don't really watch it or follow it. And they swore by it. And they're like, man, you got to give it a try, because like, even though you don't like golf, like the personalities, everything, you'd appreciate. Yeah, maybe. Like, I guess I just have my preconceived notions. All right, you know, like, hey, we're going to the clubhouse. Here we go. This is my life. I got 3 cars. This is my life. Like, this is me going to the gym, you know, lifting lightweight because I'm a golfer. This is my life. Like, I don't need to see any of that. Now, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's well done. And let's just say I'll put it in the queue next to Ted Lasso and Yellowstone.
You know, it's funny. My buddy did bring it up about it. She's like, I love like watching like rich people live their lives. So that's part of the fun part of the.
Oh, is that what it is?
Hey, stuff for him.
No, I'm not going to watch it. No, forget that then. No, well, I'm not watching that.
I think the elements of getting on like a private jet, like once in a while, I don't think that's what it's about necessarily, but I think you see some clips of that. And I think he likes that. Like he actually said, he's like, I love like the rich and famous stuff, which he does. He is definitely enamored with that.
Where's the drama in that though? Like we're watching these rich guys that like golf go on private jets. Where's the, oh no, stay tuned. The jet doesn't have any ice in it. My drink's going to be warm. Oh man, stay tuned. Like, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah, probably not a lot of drama there.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I'm going to watch it. I haven't seen it, but maybe you should see it and at least for an episode. See if you don't like it after the episode or two. We are going to talk a little bit more about the best player in the world of golf, and that is Scottie Scheffler. He is as dominant, by the way, right now coming off this weekend because he got the putter going as, you know, when you would remember Tiger Woods in, like, the glory days. He is so good, Scottie Scheffler, from tee to green. His problem has been the putter. So if he putts well, he might be as unbeatable as you can get in golf, at least at the stage. And that doesn't happen very often over the decades and decades on the PGA Tour and in the sport of golf. He's that good striking the ball. He's been that bad putting the ball, but he seemed to figure it out last week at Bay Hill. Action Sports Shaq Stewart Weber yesterday had a chance to catch up with Scottie Scheffler and shared a story on world number one and the favorite at the Players' Championship.
If you're looking for a favorite to win the Players' Championship, look no further than the guy who was atop the leaderboard the last time they were here at the stadium course. Of course, Scottie Scheffler, number one golfer in the world, coming off a big win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He is the odds-on favorite. The only problem is no golfer has ever repeated their championship here at the Players.
You know, it really is, you know, Pete Dye, just kind of genius design where you have to hit all different kinds of shots and it tests you in a lot of different ways. And that's why I think it's one of the best places we play on tour, just because it really doesn't suit one type of player. And bomb and gouge doesn't really work out here. You kind of got to plot your way around. But then you even have the shorter hitters that plot it around that can struggle here, because you got to hit it exactly where you're looking or you're going to be punished pretty severely out here.
One thing Scheffler has going for him right now, the putting game. It was fantastic down at Bay Hill a week ago, and usually the guy who can putt it pretty well is going to do pretty good here at the Players' Championship.
There he is, Stewart Weber on Scottie Scheffler, and I want to ask you guys this. This is Scottie Scheffler. He's grown a beard since last year when he won the Players' Championship. See, I see Scottie Scheffler, but I see John Rahm. And I don't know if Hamby has the Rahm shot handy. Might have to bounce back and forth there.
Hang on.
Yeah. What do you see, Austin?
All right. Yeah, I mean, same guy. Definitely the same guy. That's wild.
It's hard. It's hard because their build is different, right? So when you get in a full length shot, it becomes a little trickier. But if you look at just the face,
Weird for sure. Let me ask you this: like, are beards really a thing in golf?
I think beards are a thing in life right now.
Hey, well, ask the New York Yankees about that. I figured like golf was a little more like, you know, you can't have beards or you can't like do this, but apparently you can.
Well, no, listen, these guys are their own guys too. I mean, I don't think they can make those kind of rules. They are, they can do whatever the heck they want, I think, for the most part. But
oh,
I know what you're saying. It's been a clean-cut sport.
If somebody untucked their shirt during a golf tournament, they're getting arrested on the spot. Relax.
Hey, Ricky Fowler had the mustache going for a long time. True. Johnson Wagner has that crazy mustache. So we've definitely seen facial hair. But I think because it's so hot often where they're playing, they probably stay away from the beard. But, hey, Shane Lowry. Lowry's a big beard guy. He's got a great beard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. No, this is kind of wild, though, going back and forth here. I mean, it is similar. Like, obviously, the body types you see a little different. It's like, like those commercials from, like Slim Fast, like the before and after. Like, that's kind of what it looks like a little bit. Not the body shame. Where I go against body shaming people, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's evident that one guy's bigger than the other.
Whatever works. It's that one guy is bigger than the other.
Yeah, there you go.
And this
pick
also
it, for
could,
how you want.
It seems like this could also could be a deodorant commercial here too.
Rom's kind of getting the bad rap here.
Got him.
Hey, that's what happens when you go to Live Golf, man. Take the money run, and like no holds barred, right?
Wait, so Brett, is this you being me because this is like one of those Live Golf guys, right?
Actually, Rahm is gone. Yeah, Rahm's really the latest biggest star to go to Live Golf. And actually, Scheffler was very good on that yesterday. He's like, listen, he's like, well, you know, we've had a unified tour over here. We're trying to make it better in golf. If you want to know why there's a splintering, it's the guys that left. You know, I mean, ask them. They're the ones that left. So he was actually pretty vocal about it yesterday. And the golf world's wild right now. But I can't help but think of it. This probably isn't the greatest shot, and we couldn't find. If you really just take a facial shot of those two guys right now, I'm like, holy cow, Rahm, who's been in the news a lot because of his defection to Liv, and Scheffler, who is obviously the number one player in the world right now. I mean, it's pretty fascinating how much I think they kind of look alike with those beards rocking.
Well, and Brett, and during that Scottie Scheffler interview, you know, he mentioned the mad genius, the mad chemist himself, and Pete Dye creating this this course and everything. Did you actually see some of the blueprints or like the renderings of what Pete Dye envisioned for hole number 17 originally?
I think I've seen that before because it's his wife Alice actually that basically poked him to make that an island green. He's like, well, what am I supposed to do with all this? Because he had dug out a bunch of. He needed sand and dirt for the fairways, right? Mm-hmm. And so he had dug out that what now is water. And he was like, okay, what are we going to do with 17 now? And she was the one said, why don't you just fill it up with water and make it an island green? So I think I've seen some of the I watched a video just a couple of days ago on some of the early moving of dirt and renderings and things. So I probably have seen it. But it's a fascinating deal what they built 42 years ago or 40-something years ago now, and what it's turned into here at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, just because, like, I saw that story was kind of going around a couple days ago, but I'm sure it's been out there for a while. But, yeah, it's wild how essentially, you know, with the advice of his wife and everything, and he was kind of lost what to do at 17, it becomes, you know, one of the most famous holes in all professional golf when it wasn't even really intended to be that. So it's wild how, you know, I don't call it a mistake or anything, but it's wild how something that you didn't even envision becomes such a big staple in the sport of golf.
Yeah, I think what he wanted was that stadium feel around that finishing holes, and he certainly wanted to make that part, but no way they envisioned it would turn into what it is and what it is today. I mean, they had terrific vision, for sure, on what this course was going to be. Dean Beeman, Pete Dye, but there's just no way. I think one of the biggest elevations of this golf tournament, and I don't know if you get people to agree with me, but I've been saying it since I got here, is HD television. This golf course and courses like Augusta National, with HD TV, Austin, the way it pops, it's a great watch. It's like, I mean, it's a thing of beauty. The bottom line is the grass is so green, the flowers are so vibrant.
I know.
I mean, this pops across your TV, and I think that captures people. Like, it's almost like watching a game in the snow in the NFL. We like NFL, but don't we like a snow game more? Right? There's something like aesthetically pleasing to that. So I think the subconscious around places like Augusta and this place, especially with the HD TV and the evolution of technology, I think it's really buoyed this place probably more than anybody would ever give it credit.
No, without a doubt. I mean, obviously, I've watched the Masters before on HDTV, and I think not only is it the view, but also just the ambiance of the sound, right? When they're pumping in that bird music, like Indianapolis pumped in that crowd music or crowd noise, it just it really tickles all the senses, Brent. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, when you have it in 4K, you know, and then you got some canaries getting blared in or whatever they're pumping in, I don't think hummingbirds really make a sound. Set aside from their wings fluttering, but whatever birds they're pumping in there at Augusta, it really completes the total package of all the senses.
Tickles the senses. That is the line of the first couple of hours of the show. Let's take a break here at DVC Sawgrass. We come back from the stadium course, this beautiful stadium course. We will get back to some football talk. The big story today, now 4 hours away, is Calvin Ridley. Will he return to Jacksonville? Are the tea leaves set in motion for him to do that? Or will there be a switch or something already in the works with the Patriots or another team? Still to be determined, although there's a better feeling with each and every hour that passes that Calvin Ridley is going to be back in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. The practice range here at TPC Sawgrass. One more practice round before the tournament gets underway on Thursday morning.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.